Well, I invite you to open your Bibles with me this morning to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. There's a couple of words that stand out in this chapter. Of course, one word is the word that we're going to focus on. It's the word life. We see that word mentioned throughout chapter 4. He says in verse 4 of chapter 4, he taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast my words, keep my commandments and live. Keep them and live. He says in verse 10, hear my son and accept my words that the years of your life may be many. That the years of your life may be many. He goes on to say, in verse 20, he says, my son, be attentive to my words, incline your heart, your ear to my sayings, let them not escape from your sight, keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and healing to all your flesh. Verse 23, keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. And so, in this proverb, chapter 4, he talks about God's wisdom is the way of life. Another word that he focuses on is the word path, or way, the path of life, or the way of life. And so he's communicating to us that life is a journey. And there is a journey, there's a way, there's a path that leads to life. And there's a path, a journey, a way that leads to death. There aren't three paths in life. You know, we have three rows, sections that you can come down here to the front. That's kind of what, you know, some people want in life. They don't want the extreme of, you know, God's wisdom through Jesus Christ, that one way of following Jesus with all my heart and soul is the way that leads to life. And of course, the other life of sin and wickedness and darkness, a lot of people want to find that middle road, you know, where they can have a foot over here and a foot over there and try to have a little bit of both. But the Bible is very clear. The Bible says, Jesus says it this way. He says, narrow is the gate, and hard is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. The way of following Jesus in this world is not easy. It's not easy. God doesn't do anything easy. I think God delights in the hard things because, you know, living for Him is really hard, and it's very obvious we can't do it in our own strength. It's very obvious that to live for the Lord, we have to each and every day trust in Him. And so living for Jesus, it is hard. Jesus said it in his own words. The way of life, the path of life that leads to the Lord is difficult, and it's hard because it goes against everything that we hear from the world. All the voices that we hear when you kids go to school, just about every voice that you hear at school is trying to lead you down a different path. And it's hard. It's hard. And so, in order to live this life with the Lord, of course, we have to trust in Him. And He's promised that He will give us the grace and the strength that we need. And so that when we do finish our course, we will look back and say, praise God, it was your doing. It was your doing, Lord. God is glorified when we trust in Him. The other way, Jesus says, broad is the way. Broad is the gate, and easy is the way that leads to destruction. And many many are on that road. There's two paths. The path of life is only today found in one person. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the what? The life. Jesus is the life. And so the way to life is not in religion. The way to life is not in following rules. The way to life is not by keeping a list. The way to life is not by, you know, hoping that at the end you do more good than you do bad. The way to life is in a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's in the person of Jesus. Jesus said in John 10, I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. You see, there is no life outside of Jesus Christ. If you don't know Jesus today, you don't know life. You might be experiencing what you think is life, but you don't know life until you've come to know Jesus Christ personally as your Lord and Savior. In Proverbs chapter 4, we're going to see, you know me by now, there's 27 verses. You know, I could probably make 4 weeks out of chapter 4. But I'm gonna summarize and try to divide it into two points. Number one, Paul doesn't believe I can do it. Okay. Number one, we're going to talk about getting on the path of life. And we're going to see that in the first 9 verses. What does it mean? What does it look like to get on the path of life? To get on with following Jesus Christ. And then in the remainder of the chapter, we'll highlight a few verses, 10 through 27. He talks about what does it look like to stay on the path of life, staying on the path of life. So getting on the path of life in Jesus and staying on the path of life in Christ Jesus. Look with me in chapter 4, look in verse 1. He begins by kind of filling us in with this conversation that a father's had with his son. And so as the father sits down, probably with his teenage son, he says to his teenage son, let me tell you about how my dad instructed me. So he's kind of bringing the grandfather into the picture. Let me tell you when I was a boy, how my dad instructed me in this way of life, the path of life, the path of wisdom, the path of being in Christ Jesus. He says in verse 1, hear, O sons, a father's instruction, and be attentive that you may gain insight. For I give you good precepts. Do not forsake my teaching. When I was a son with my father, tender, the only one in the sight of my mother, he taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast my words, keep my commandments, and live. And so, you know, one of the things that we see that stands out about getting onto the path of life, again, we see a father talking with his son, pointing his son to Jesus Christ. He's sharing how his father taught him the wisdom of God in Christ Jesus. One of the things that's really important to get on this path of life is that we need someone to share with us the way of Jesus Christ. We need it, and if you're here today and you're on the path of life, if you're following Jesus Christ, it was because God put someone in your path to tell you. God's put someone, it may have been a father and a mother. According to God's plan, that's who it's supposed to be, right? According to God's plan, it is the role of the dad, it is the role of the mom to sit down with our children and all through the time that God gives them with us and to say, listen, I've walked with Jesus for a while and I can tell you it works. I can tell you that if you don't follow Jesus, it's not going to work. And we can look our children right in the eyes and say, I've experienced this, I've experienced that, and I can tell you that the way of life is only found in Jesus Christ. If you want to know abundant life, live for Jesus. If you want to know a life that is filled with heartache and ruin, then leave Jesus. And that's what you're going to get. And so God's plan to get us on this path of life involves having someone to pour into us. And primarily, that role and responsibility that belongs to the parents. And in the text, he specifically refers to fathers. I want to encourage our fathers today to take this responsibility and take this role and to pour into your children. It doesn't matter how old they are, but continue to share God's wisdom with them. Now, the reality is, some of you today are not fathers. Some of you today may not have a father who's doing this for you. But I believe that God has called you. If you're here today, you can have this role in someone else's life. Maybe it was a Sunday school teacher for you. Maybe it was a youth director. Maybe it was a coach. Maybe it was a friend at work who noticed that you needed Jesus. And they were that father-like figure who came alongside of you and said, listen, let me tell you what Jesus has done for me. Let me tell you how I have found life in Jesus Christ. And so I look around and we got a lot of grandfathers. As a grandfather, you can continue to pour in those grandchildren. And you can tell those grandchildren, hey, let me tell you, as you sit down with them, let me tell you the difference that Jesus has made in my life. Let me tell you how Jesus has changed me. Let me tell you how the direction that my life was going in before I knew Jesus. And let me tell you how Jesus completely turned my life around. You see, in order to get on this path of life, we see him, the importance of having someone to look us in the eye and share with us the wisdom of God in Christ Jesus. Someone who will, with all the passion and all the love, point us to Jesus Christ himself. But there's more to see in these first few verses about getting on the path of life. And the emphasis about getting on this path of life, there is a sense of urgency, and there is a sense that in order to get on this path of life, it will cost us everything. Look what he says in verse 5. He says, get wisdom, get insight, do not forget, do not turn away from the words of my mouth. Look at verse 7. The beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom, and whatever you get insight. You think he's trying to emphasize with all the gets? Get it! The NIV. How many of you have an NIV? All right, verse 7. Kathleen, read verse 7 from the NIV loudly, please. Oh, I thought you said you had it with you. Who's got an NIV? All right. Read it loudly.
The beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom. Though it cost all you have, get understanding.
Though it cost all that you have. That word get in the Hebrew, the idea of getting means to purchase, to buy. Now, we know that we can't buy our salvation. We know that. It's free, right? Jesus paid it all. But the idea here is that it's going to cost us to get this life in Christ Jesus. It's going to cost us. And the NIV says, though it cost you all you have. Though it cost you all you have. Get wisdom. Jesus talks about quite often the cost of following him. Look at Luke chapter 14 and verse 25. Turn to the New Testament with me. Luke 14 and verse 25. So again, we're talking about getting on the path of life. We're talking about coming to know Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life. And here, in the wisdom of Proverbs, he says that it's going to cost us to get this life in Christ Jesus. It's going to cost us all that we have. Jesus said in Luke chapter 14 and verse 25, in my Bible, over this section, it says, the cost of discipleship. The cost of discipleship. He says, now great crowds accompanied him, and he turned and he said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. It's going to cost us to follow Jesus. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you desiring to build a tower does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king going out to encounter another king in war will not sit down first and deliberate whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? And if not, while the other is yet a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. So therefore, any one of you who does not renounce, what's that next word? All. Anyone who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. Now that goes back to what Proverbs 4:7 says. The beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom though it cost you all you have. You remember the rich young ruler? What must I do to have eternal life? I want life, Jesus. I want life. I want eternal life. I want to know it. And Jesus, able to look into this man's heart and able to see the idol, the God that he was worshiping, the possessions, the things of this world. And Jesus said, if you want to follow me, if you want to follow this path that leads to life, if you want to get on that path of life and know me for all of eternity, you got to let go of the things of this world. It's going to cost you everything. And the Bible says that the rich young ruler went away sorrowful because he had many possessions or many riches. Jesus in Matthew 13, in talking about the kingdom, he gives two parables to describe the kingdom. One, he says, the kingdom of God is like a treasure hidden in a field. And that when someone finds this treasure, they go and they sell what? Everything. Everything. That they may purchase that field. Or it's like a pearl of great price. And when you have found that pearl of great price, he's willing to do what? Sell it all, that he might obtain that pearl of great price. You see, getting this life in Christ Jesus, it will cost you everything. But the same is true if you choose to not go down the way or the path of life in Christ Jesus, and if you choose the other path, it's also going to cost you everything. It's going to cost you everything to go the other way. And instead of filling you with life, it's going to suck the life right out of you. The Apostle Paul was one who knew what it was like to lose everything for the sake of Jesus Christ. He knew that on the Damascus Road, when he encountered Jesus Christ, he knew that to follow Jesus, it would cost him everything. It would cost him his position. It would cost him the relationships that he had established. And here's what Paul says. He says, "Whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ." You know, if we could sit down today and talk with the men and women of God of old, if we could sit down, you know, a great chapter that kind of summarizes many of these saints of old is Hebrews 11, the chapter of faith. If we could sit down with Abel and say, "Abel, do you regret offering that sacrifice of your heart that was pleasing unto God? Do you regret because your brother Cain was jealous of you and he killed you?" Don't regret it one bit. It goes on throughout the chapter. Enoch, the Bible tells us that Enoch walked with God, and God came and did what? He took him. Do you regret it, Enoch? Do you regret walking with God all those years and then God just coming down and taking you to be with him? Nope, I wish he would have done it sooner. How about Noah? Noah, do you regret being called crazy for all those years? What in the world are you doing, Noah? This is lunacy. This is stupidity. This is the height of stupidity. You're a fool. For all those years, day in and day out, as he was by faith building the ark, Noah, do you regret it? Nope, don't regret it one bit. How about Abraham? Abraham, do you regret when God called you to leave your family, your friends, everything you've ever known to follow him to a place that you didn't know where you were going? Abraham, do you regret it? Don't regret it one bit. Cost me everything, but boy, I gained so much more. How about Moses? Listen to what Hebrews 11 says about Moses. "By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward." Here was a man that left all the glory and the splendor and riches and women and everything that he had, could have had it all at his disposal in Egypt. Cost him everything. But you know what he got? He got eternal life with the Lord. Let me ask you today, what is it that you're not willing to let go of? What is it that in your mind right now it's too high of a price to let go of in order to get on the path that leads to life in Christ Jesus? Maybe it's the pride. What will others think of me? Maybe it's the fear that others will not approve of you and not accept you anymore. Or maybe it's the power you feel like that you'll lose influence. I can promise you now that in 1,000 years, in 1,000,000 years, you won't regret letting go of all that stuff. Not one of these people who have lived for the Lord would regret it. they would say with great joy and happiness, that they are glad that they forsook all and followed Jesus. And so the first thing that we see in our text today is that to get on this path of life, it involves having someone to instruct us and show us and teach us. And if we're here today, it's because someone has. And then God wants us to be that kind of person to others. And then we see also that getting on this path requires cost. It will cost us everything. To follow Jesus, to live for Jesus, it will cost. One word that the Bible uses to describe this cost is the word repentance. It requires a turning away from the life that we once knew and then turning to Jesus and following Him. That's what it involves. Secondly, in our text, He not only talks about getting on this path of life, but He talks about staying on the path of life. Staying on the path of life. And so He, in this last section of chapter 4, He warns us, He inspires us, and He also instructs us. Look at the warning in, look down at verse 14. He warns us. He says, "Do not enter the path of the wicked. And do not walk in the way of the evil. Avoid it. Do not go on it. Turn away from it and pass on." And He tells us why. "For they cannot sleep unless they have done wrong. They are robbed of sleep unless they have made someone to stumble. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence." Look at verse 19. "The way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know over what they stumble." So, first of all, to stay on the path of life in Christ Jesus, there's a warning here. And the warning is, stay away from the path of the wicked. Avoid it. Do not enter. Stay away at all cost. And He says, because the power of darkness will consume you. Look at how these people are literally consumed with darkness. He says they can't even go to sleep unless they've done something wrong. He says they eat it. They drink it. You know, we know very little of the addictive, controlling, enslaving power of sin. Jesus says in John 8:34, "Whoever commits sin is a slave of sin." You see, in the darkness and the way of darkness, there is a power. There's an addictive, an enslaving, a controlling, a consuming power. And here He highlights the power, the addictive nature, the controlling nature of wanting to take other people down. He says, they are robbed of sleep unless they have made someone stumble. This path of wickedness, this path of darkness is to be avoided at all costs, because once you start to go down it, it will wrap its arms around you and it will begin to consume and control you and fill you in such a way that you think about it and you can't go to sleep until you engage in it. You eat it, you drink it. And one of the ways that He highlights here is making other people stumble. Making other people stumble. And so we need to be very careful in our own hearts and minds when we start thinking about how we can bring someone down, how we can harm this person's reputation, how we can minimize their influence, how we can weaken them, how we can limit their effectiveness and impact. And there's so many ways that this, of course, manifests itself. One of the ways is at work. You know, if you've got someone that you perceive as a potential rival or someone who's maybe in your way or someone who, you know, if this person was removed from the picture, it would help the path out for you. And so before you know it, you start thinking about ways that you can throw shade at that person, ways that you can minimize the effectiveness of that person, ways that you can just kind of with a snide comment, kind of like throw a disparaging or a negative light upon that person, just to kind of turn it in a way to where, you know, that person's effectiveness or that person's impact is brought down. And what he says is, once you start to go down that path, it will control you. Stay away. Stay away. The way of life, the way of wisdom, is not about causing other people to stumble. The way of life, the way of wisdom, is about building and encouraging and lifting up. That's the way of life. Let me just say, if in your mind right now there's a person or a couple of people that you're thinking about, man, I just would like to take them out. And I don't mean like, you know, literally take them out. I mean take them out as far as their influence or take them out of their position. And my life would be so much better if, and then you start to just think about, well, how can I work this to where it's going to lift me up and put them down? Once you start going down that road, it will consume you. And let me just say, you don't have to look very far. So there's workplace politics, but then there's politics. Now you look at our political climate today. It's not about winning, it's about destroying the other person. It's about taking them out. And it becomes an obsession. How can we destroy this person's influence? How can we destroy this person's effectiveness? And by the way, you know, we can't help but deny we live in that world today. Let me just say, whether you are a Republican or a Democrat or wherever you stand on that scale, be very careful that that spirit that we see of taking the other person out, be careful that that doesn't infiltrate your heart and mind. That should not be characteristic of God's people. We ought to be able to sit down, regardless of where you are politically, sit down in love. And have a conversation with someone and talk to them. And let me just say, no political movement is going to change a person's heart. It's only the gospel of Jesus Christ that will. And so it's not worth it. It's not worth it. The best decision I made, and Wendy can tell you, was I don't know how long it was, long ago it was, maybe a couple years. I stopped watching the news. I don't watch the news anymore. Because you know what it did? It just kept me worked up. My stress level has gone down so much since I stopped watching the news. He's in control. God hasn't called us to figure out, you know, all that. He's called us to be fishers of men with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so the warning here, the warning is to stay as far away from that path as you can. Don't go near it. Avoid it. Why? Because it will control you and consume you. And it's not just with this sin of trying to cause other people to stumble and taking them down and taking them and removing them from the picture. You can apply this to all kinds of sins. Once you start going down the pathway of sin and darkness, it will consume you and control you. Listen, there's so many sins today that are controlling people. Pornography, greed. These things are so addictive and so powerful and so controlling. And he's saying that to stay on the path of life in Christ Jesus, you must avoid at all cost the way of darkness and the way of sin. That's wisdom. That's wisdom. And so turn off the TV. And instead of thinking about how you can minimize the influence of that person or how you can take that person out, start praying that God will bless that person. God bless them and help me to be a blessing to them. That's life, folks. That's what Jesus did for us. And not only does he warn us, but he also inspires us. And boy, what an inspiring picture verse 18 is. He says, the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. So you see, there's two words to summarize that scripture. Number one is the word progression, and number two is the word culmination. So what he's saying here is that as we are on the path of life in Jesus Christ, and as we stay on that path, look what's going to happen. The path of the righteous is like the light of dawn. It shines brighter and brighter. How many of you ever had the privilege or the blessing to spend the night down on the ocean front? Maybe not here. And then you woke up while it was still dark. So that's another thing altogether, right? But to be at the beach while it's still dark, and then to see that sun begin to peak, begin to raise its head up, and you see that first glimmer of the dawn. It's beautiful. The Bible says that as, and this is to inspire us, this is to fill us with hope today, to stay on the path of life, to stay on the path of Christ. And what inspires us is that when we forsake all, we leave it all behind and we say, Christ, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to take up my cross. I'm going to die to self, the world, and all it's behind. I want you, Jesus. And when we make that once, that decisive decision to follow Jesus, the light of Christ begins to shine. It begins to dawn inside of us. And some of you are like, well, yeah, it's dawning, but it's not very bright right now. That's okay. That light is going to progressively get brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter. Our year verse a few years ago, 2 Corinthians 3:18, says that we with unveiled face beholding the glory of the Lord are being transformed into his image, his likeness, from one degree of glory to another. There is that one degree of glory. Christ is shining brighter and brighter. And just like when you watch that sun rise, there's not a whole lot of light first when it starts, but boy, that sun goes up and it's getting brighter and brighter as it goes. You know, and if you've been living for Jesus a little while, some of you have been living for Jesus a little while, and you have that perspective, you can look back on your life and you can say, praise God, I'm not what I used to be. I'm not what I ought to be yet, but thank God I'm not what I used to be. And you know why that is? It's because the light of Jesus Christ is shining brighter and brighter and brighter. And here is what gets me really, really excited. Until it's going to shine, the light of Jesus, as we stay on the path, it's going to shine brighter and brighter until full day. There's coming a day when the Bible word, when we are going to be glorified. We're going to see Jesus as he is. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2. He says, beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him because we shall see him as he is. Second Peter chapter 1 and verse 19 talks about how we are to pay attention to the Word of God. He says, pay attention as to a lamp shining in the dark place until the day dawns. Stay on the path of life. Keep following Jesus until the day dawns, until Jesus returns, and the morning star rises in your hearts. In other words, there's coming a day when we're going to see the glory with our eyes, and the glory is going to rise in our hearts. Glory without and glory within. That's inspiring. That's encouraging. That fills me with hope. I know as I look back on my life, I can see how the light of Jesus gradually, incrementally, is shining brighter and brighter. It's a journey. There's no quick fixes in the Christian life. There's no microwave Christianity. You can't microwave a Christian life. You know, you can't, our popcorn, a minute and 50 seconds. There's not a minute and 50 seconds Christianity. It just doesn't work that way. It's a slow cook process. It's a journey. And it's one day after another, staying on the path, one day after another, following Jesus, one day after another, keeping my eyes on Him. And what happens? Gradually, the Son of God, rises brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter until that day when we see Him face to face. And then we're filled with glory. From the top of our head to the bottom of our feet, glory. No more arthritis. No more cancer. No more sinful, selfish nature. We're filled with the glorious light of Jesus Christ. So stay on the path means I hear the warnings and I avoid at all cost the path of sin that is controlling and enslaving. And I'm inspired by this picture of what God has in store for me. The light shining brighter and brighter until finally it fills my whole being. I'm going to just stop right here today. There's two paths. Only two in this life. There is the path of life in Christ Jesus. It is the way of wisdom. It requires being decisive. It requires, I got to quit messing around. I can't try to have one foot here and one foot there. It's going all in with Jesus Christ. It's forsaking everything and following Him. And I can promise you this, a million years from now, you will be so glad. You will have no regrets. So what is it that's holding you back today? And I say this with all kindness and love. It's absolutely foolish to hold on to whatever it is you're holding on to and not follow Jesus. The other path is the path that is full of darkness. You may think it's the path of life. You may think it's the path of freedom, but it's just the opposite. It's the path of misery. It's the path of bondage. It's the path of enslavement. And it's the path of ruin. And so this morning, Jesus says, come, follow me. It will cost you everything. It will cost you everything, but you'll gain everything. And there will be no regrets. Let's bow our heads this morning for a word of prayer. Father, as we come before you today, I pray, Lord, that you will help us. Lord, help us to see so clearly today. I pray that you will remove the film, remove the fog, and God, give us eyes to see clearly that the only path to follow is the path of life in Jesus Christ. Lord, help us today to stay on that path. I pray, Lord, if there's some who've kind of wandered off the path, help them to get back on today. Lord, our whole lives, really, each and every day, there is a recalibrating of our lives on Christ Jesus. Lord, maybe there's someone here today who's made a couple of wrong turns, but today you're saying, okay, it's time to get back on the path. It's time to get back following Jesus. It's time to recalibrate. Get your eyes back on Jesus. Get your focus back on Him. Seek Him first. Those things that have got in the way, it's time to let those things go. And so, Lord, I pray that Your Holy Spirit will move now. And God, if I believe there are some here who for the first time need to accept Jesus Christ personally as Lord and Savior and get on for the very first time to get on this path of life. And Lord, I pray that You would so move upon their heart, God, that this would be the day where life, eternal life, the life of Jesus Christ comes into their heart. Thank You, Lord. We ask now that You will bless this invitation, that Your Holy Spirit will work in a way that only He can. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.